Welcome back to All Talk. Kevin Dietz with Marie Osborne. You're going to want to talk about this one. I'm sure the people have some thoughts on this. 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR. You can call or text. Two former leaders of the Proud Boys, Joseph Biggs and Zachary Rell, have been sentenced to 17 years and 15 years in prison, respectively, for their involvement in seditious conspiracy and other crimes during the January 6th Capitol riot. The sentences were handed down by Judge Tim Kelly, who opted for penalties below what prosecutors had sought, citing their lack of intent to cause mass casualties. Marie, at least one of them had said, you know, I know what I did was wrong there, but it was not my intent, you know, to cause harm.
And a lot of people use that very defense, you know, that I, you know, I got caught up in the moment or whatever. But the fact is this sending a message to people who may have designs on doing this in the future?
17 years and 15 years is a pretty strong message.
If
that's a light sentence,
so.
If that's a light sentence, I don't want a tough one.
No,
I don't want one of them hanging judges. Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gavin Marie.
Good morning.
Todd, walk us through what the goal of sentencing is for a judge and maybe how we think this judge did as far as sentencing these two.
Well, the judge looks at the factors with regards to what the legislature put in place for the sentencing guidelines. The guidelines are advisory, but he looks at certain things. One, rehabilitation. Two, like sentences. Three, is there a disparity between other sentences? Four, a deterrence factor. Is there a message that needs to be sent out there? Equity with regards to that of the defendant. Then I always say you pay for the dance floor if you go to trial and you lose. And you look at relative conduct as well. I think the court, great judges that I see, look at the whole story, look at the person, dive deep into the factors of what the human being is as far as what act he did, and try to put equity into a just sentence. It's a very you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's the biggest job, one of the biggest jobs of a judge, because that's changing the trajectory of the person's life, and it's also sending a message to the world. And it takes courage to do the right thing. So in this particular case, hey, they asked for 30 years for the Proud Boys. And obviously the government, you know, didn't get what their wish. But it's still the judge went through everything and hammered this guy.
Let's have a teaching moment here if we can, Todd, because I remember the first time I was in court and watched a sentencing. Yeah. I was surprised at these sentencing guidelines. I didn't, you know, I wasn't really completely aware of what they were and how big of a role they played in the judge's decision. And like you said, good judges look at many factors. But these sentencing guidelines, which, by the way, are prepared well in advance, so given to the judge, these are really important. Can you explain to our listeners how important they are and really how they're put together?
Sure. So I will tell you this. The sentencing guidelines for the federal system, for your listeners, compared to the state system, both are advisory, but the federal system is like a treaties. And how they're put together is depending on the underlying crime, you get points. And in this particular case, the crime is such that it's the conspiracy, the seditious conspiracy here, and there's a certain level of points that are given to that particular person for that particular crime. As you go up the scale, you think about the factors that affect the guidelines. The higher the points, obviously, the higher the sentencing range. But always keep in mind, it's worth repeating, guidelines are advisory. Yeah. They're not mandated. Okay, so you teaching moment one, were you a leader in the role of the conspiracy? That's a very big part of the guidelines in this particular situation, because that can really jack up the number of points, which then in turn gets you the increased amount of sentencing or time. And so as you go through these factors, you're going to see that the big thing that's going to come down to it is how your role was, and at the same time, how big of a participant, and did you get others involved and the like. So once you weigh all those things out and you determine this defendant's role and the crime, the underlying pinnings of what he did, how he did it, then the judge uses those in a balancing to determine another part of this case, the relevant conduct. Was there other things? And in this particular case, he lied. He lied, which is kind of an obstruction portion of it. He lied to the agents well before January 6th, before this whole thing ended. He was kind of doing the subterfuge portion of this case. So, Maria, the long and short of it is every particular part of the case that you do, there's an addition or subtraction to the level of points you get, which increases or decreases the time you're going to do. So, when I do a sentencing, I'm about to do one, we argued hard at pretrial. We argued hard at the plea. We agreed, the prosecutor and I, to the points. Now the probation sentence, the probation department's going to come up with their version, right, and the judge is going to make their own determination.
We have about a minute left, but Biggs, he begged the judge for leniency, claiming he was seduced by the mob. Rell, he expressed remorse and said he was going to distance himself from politics. Does what the defendants say in front of the judge matter much, or in most cases has the judge already made up their mind?
No, it matters a lot. It matters a lot to me. And expert judges, because they want to hear contrition. They want to hear the person. They want to hear, give them an opportunity to sway the judge one way or the other. If you go in front of that judge and you are pretty much not accepting what was found, not accepting certain factors that were proven, it's not going to bode well. But if you go in front of the judge and accept the court's with humility decision and talk about, you know, factors that should be considered. I'm the only one at home. I have an illness, or my children or family count on me. I made a tragic, tragic error. My decision making was wrong. It wasn't a mistake. 2 + 2 = 4. I didn't make it 5. I made the decision. You know, you got to have humility. And ultimately, a judge will look at those factors. I think it makes a big determination on potential sentencing.
Yeah. All right. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law, thanks so much for your perspective.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Todd.
All right. So the prosecutors, Murray, wanted 30 years. They got 17 years and 15 years. I want to know what the folks think about all of that. The number is 1-800-859-0957, 1-800-859-0WJR. Those are real years.
Yeah, too long or not long enough, because I'm sure there are folks out there that feel very much on both of those points.
Absolutely. All right, give us a call. You're listening to WJR, where Michigan comes to talk.